Good evening. Good to see each one of you here this evening. Good looking crowd for Wednesday night. I want to ask you to turn to hymn number 110. 110 is Blessed Be the Name. We're going to stand, sing all three verses as we begin this morning or this evening.
God and King, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus, the name that charms our fears. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His music in the sinner's ears. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. He breaks the power of canceled sin. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His blood can make the vilest clean. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now I want you all to understand, some of you adults probably understand this, some of the teens may not understand it. If you hear me say something that's not written down there, I'm just singing it the way it ought to be. So if you wonder, that's where that comes from. That's just the way I learned it, folks. So I may take it back a few years, but I enjoy it. I enjoy singing for the Lord. It's good to be here tonight. I just wanted to talk about a few announcements that we've got going. It's good to see everybody here. Sister Marilyn, is this your last service? Okay. She's not dying. She's heading back down to Texas. But we're going to miss you, Sister Parker. So just remember to say goodbye to her as she heads out. Yes, sir. Oh, a different Sister Parker. Okay, that's good. And Lizzie's not going either. So just so everybody knows what's going on. Now, we do have some things coming up over the next several days. Of course, if you have kids at camp, they're supposed to be back Friday afternoon. I'm guessing probably around 2:30 or 3 o'clock. And then on Sunday, we're going to have our regular schedule of services, so be here, be a part of the services. And then Monday is July the 4th, so we're going to have the way we've always done it. Pastor isn't here, I can say that. but we're going to have a cookout on Monday afternoon. They'll be starting the food around noon and then eating, we're planning on eating about 1 o'clock. The church is going to provide the hamburgers and hot dogs, and the rest of us need to bring some side dishes and desserts, heavy on the desserts. So I didn't get this way by just not eating dessert. So, but anyway, be here. Then after that, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we're going to have, you all are going to have a basketball or softball game, and I'm going to watch. So, and there'll be probably another person or two helping me watch, so we'll have a good time. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you're looking forward to it, to a time of fellowship with God's people on July the 4th. I believe that's the big announcements coming up. Of course, be aware. We've got Vacation Bible School coming up at the end of July. So we need to be thinking about that and preparing for it. And out in the back, I believe you can still fill out, if you want some T-shirts, fill that out in the outer foyer on your left-hand side as you're going out there, and they'll get those ready. And we're going to have a good time at Vacation Bible School, and I believe the Lord is going to win some folks to Him. So let's look forward to that, be praying for that, and see what the Lord has for us. I believe that's all the announcements. It's good to have each one of you here. Brother Parker, would you lead us in prayer as we begin tonight? Amen. 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 Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Go ahead and get your prayer list out. The pastor gave me a couple things that he said he forgot to get put on there. Last week, Brother Parker said he had an unspoken, but it didn't get down there. So put that on there. Hopefully he'll get it on next week. And then also, Sister Beth Kirk mentioned that baby Jordan, that's the baby that she's taken care of, is having some problems thriving, and they need to get his weight up. And so she just asked that we would pray for that, that he'd eat well and begin to increase his weight. Otherwise, you're going to have to put him in the hospital and do some different things that to try to get him to get his weight increased. So let's remember those two in addition to what we have on our prayer list. Now, I've already got my hearing aids turned all the way up, so I ought to be able to hear most of you. Now, if Sister Griffin says something, Brother Griffin, you'll have to repeat it for me. And if I don't hear anybody else, Gloria is up here tonight, so she'll be able to help me. Anyway, she'll be my interpreter. So do we have any prayer requests this evening that we need to get on our list? I didn't mean to scare you off. I mean, if I don't hear it, I'll get to it eventually. So, yes, sir, sister. Super. Okay, we were concerned about that, but Allison's results have come back negative, so hopefully there's no problem and things will clear themselves up. Sister Sue, did you have... Okay. I identify with that more and more all the time. So let's pray for Brother Roy that he'll get to feeling better. Anybody else? Sister Zodi. Okay, that's your coworker, and I missed the name. Could you give me that? Pete? Okay, let's remember Zodi's coworker, Pete. Apparently may have an intestinal blockage, so they're going to be doing some work on him. Let's be thinking about that and praying for him. that things would work out fine. Yes, Sister Griffin. Okay. Pray for the deaf people. That's me, people. So, yeah, that's a good thing. Did you have something else? An unspoken. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Then I'm going to ask the gentleman to come for the offering. And it's good to know. I kind of make light of it. I kind of make light of everything. But it's certainly good to know that we have a God that cares, a God that hears our prayers and will take them to heart and give us an answer. Brother Luke Stewart, would you lead us in prayer this evening? Amen. Ask you to turn now to hymn number 264. 264 is Kneel at the Cross. I'm going to have you stand. Normally at this time, let's go ahead and stand. We'll sing all three verses. But normally at this time, we have a missions update. Brother Tim takes care of that. And the pastor said, don't worry about it tonight. But I happen to think we have been really praying for our missionaries down in Homestead, Florida. I'll think of their names in a moment, the Alexanders. And so let's remember them. And then remember all of our home missionaries, the Drinkards up here in Lee Summit, or whatever that place is, Leewood, and the Cullisons out in Ogallala, Nebraska, that the Lord would just continue to work. But especially let's remember the Alexanders in the days ahead. Let's go ahead and sing all three verses, Kneel at the Cross.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. List to his voice, leave with him your care, and begin life anew. Jesus will. the cross, there is room for all who would His glory share. Bliss there awaits, harm can ne'er befall those who are anchored there. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross, give your idols up, look unto realms above. Turn not away to my sparkling cup, trust only in His word. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there.
Amen. Thank you. You can get your Bibles out, get ready for the message. I believe Brother Parker said we're going to be in Genesis chapter 41, maybe 42. Is that right?
No, sir, but that's okay.
Completely wrong. But anyway, he'll tell you.
Amen. We're actually going to be in 2 Timothy tonight. 2 Timothy tonight. And I figure, well, the teen class is coming up here, so we'll just keep going the series that we started here just a couple weeks ago in teens. Well, I say we started. We started in November, going through 1 and 2 Timothy, but we just finished 1 Timothy here a few weeks ago and are just started 2 Timothy here recently. So we'll be in the book of 2 Timothy tonight, chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. For review's sakes, we'll go ahead and read part of what I preached last week, because it really ties in closely to tonight's message as well. So we'll go ahead and get right into the reading here. Verse number 7 here, there in 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul writing here, he says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." And the gospel is very key in last week's message and really just in what Paul's preaching here. And let's go ahead and continue reading our text. We'll start for tonight, specifically in verse number 11. "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. But nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom Phigelius and Hermogenes, and the Lord giveth mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me in Ephesus, thou knowest very well." We'll kind of do a little bit of recap and bring everybody that's not in the teen class up to speed here in just a moment. But sure, looking forward to preaching tonight and continuing the idea that's been present in 1 Timothy and really continued into 2 Timothy and honestly even more emphasized of being faithful for a lifetime. And really, as Paul's writing to Timothy here, this is He's getting toward the end of his life, and he's really challenging the young preacher that he considers his son in the faith. He loves him dearly, and he wants him to be steadfast and faithful. Why? For the gospel. The gospel. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach. Lord, just pray that the message would be clear tonight. Lord, help us to be tuned in to what you have for us from your word. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated there tonight. As I mentioned, we started here in 2 Timothy just a few weeks ago on the youth night, actually. I got to kind of preach the concluding message to 1 Timothy. It was right when we were about to start 2 Timothy. So not been in it for too long here. But our title, our series title in 1 and 2 Timothy has been that faithful for a lifetime. As the older preacher, the Apostle Paul, has been writing and challenging the younger preacher, Timothy, being the up-and-coming one, to be faithful for his whole life. Because that lifetime, Timothy, it starts now when you're young. Paul's the older preacher. 2 Timothy is widely believed to be the last book that Paul wrote. He's coming to the end of his life, and he knows it. He recognizes that. But he can look back on what's taken place in his life and say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Faithful for a lifetime. And that's exactly what he desires for the young man, Timothy, to be faithful to God, to be faithful to his word, to be faithful to preach the word, to be faithful to share the gospel with people. And it really starts now as a young person like Timothy. And it's why I've loved getting to preach it to the teens, that it truly can start now. You don't have to wait until you're the Apostle Paul's age to start serving God, or wait until you're in college, or wait until you're married, or until your grandma or grandma. No, serve God now. Serve God now. Serve God now. So last week, for the teens, I don't know what got, probably Ephesians, right? That's where we're at up here. Okay, Ephesians up here, but for the teens, we preach there, kind of verses 7 through 10 here in 2 Timothy. And we really focused in on that verse number 7 of God hath not given us the spirit of fear. He hath not given us the spirit of fear. Fear of what people will think. For those that are teenagers, or those who remember being teenagers, you're often very afraid of what everybody else thinks. Fear of embarrassment. Fear of what might happen to us. I mean, think about what would stop you from witnessing to that coworker? Well, what are they going to think about me? Well, what are they going to say about me? What if they don't want to be my friend anymore? And preaching to the teenagers, what if they don't like me anymore? I want them to like me. I don't want to scare them away. I don't want it to be all awkward at this family gathering where I know I've got some unsaved family members, but it'd just be kind of weird. That's fear. But he hath not given us the spirit of fear. He hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The idea there being the power, the boldness, the courage to share the gospel with people. Even preaching through, or pastor preaching through the book of Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. That power and boldness that only comes from him. The courage to share the gospel. The gospel's key in all this. The love. Love for other people. Love that motivates you. For God so loved the world that he gave. So it's that same love that he had for us. He loves other people just the same. And we ought to have that love and not be afraid to share the gospel. That's as Paul's writing to Timothy here. He's challenging him. He's recognizing the ways that Paul has been brought up and his faithfulness over his life, and challenging Timothy to do the same. All of it motivating to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That light through the gospel, as he concludes verse 10. And Paul's really continuing that thought here tonight. Not being ashamed. Not afraid. Don't quit or give up, as so many have. The tragic stereotype of teenagers that, oh, when you turn 18 and graduate, you stop going to church. I've met coworker after coworker over the years that, well, I used to go to church when I was a kid. Well, my grandma took me to church when I was little, but I stopped going. Oh, yeah, my grandfather's a preacher down south, but I don't really go to church anymore. Quitting. Quitting. Timothy, don't quit. Timothy, be faithful. Don't be ashamed. Don't give up. Be faithful. for a lifetime. It all connects together. In verse number 11, he's continuing these thoughts here regarding the gospel. Whereunto I'm appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of even the Gentiles. Because if it wasn't for the gospel, then none of that would be possible. Who would have believed that Paul? I mean, sometimes when we just know all the Bible stories, we forget the significance of these things, that this is Paul. If it wasn't for the gospel, I couldn't be a preacher, an apostle, a teacher to the Gentiles. Timothy, think about where I was at when I got saved. I was there. I was holding their coats as they stoned Stephen to death. I was there. I hunted Christians. I hated them. I hunted them down and searched them out to wipe them out and silence them and get rid of them. But Timothy, if it wasn't for the gospel, for that light, that love from the Lord, I'm appointed a preacher, an apostle. What an honor that he gets to say when he starts every book, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Unto you, Timothy, my beloved son, the older preacher now, that wouldn't have been possible were it not for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul often described himself the chiefest of Pharisees. If Paul can get saved, we know anybody can get saved. The power of the gospel on full display. Who would have believed that Paul, in the past that he had, would have been one of the most well-known preachers in all of history? And now, as he's nearing the end of his life, he's so thankful that he can look back to that day on the road to Damascus and recognize the change that took place in his life. That day, the same gospel that he's preaching now and preaching to Timothy and challenging Timothy to preach, it changed his life. And it is just as powerful and just as significant and just as effective in changing the lives of everybody else. He recognized that he was a sinner and he needed a Savior, and that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Timothy, the gospel changed my life. Through it, God saved me, called me to be a preacher. Something for many thought impossible, a teacher of Gentiles. Because Jesus didn't just die for a few. He died so that all may come unto Him, regardless of your race or gender, nationality, political opinions. Jesus Christ still loves you. He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary so that by believing on Him, you may have eternal life. That is the cause. That's the light of the gospel that Paul has been faithful to and is challenging Timothy to be faithful to as well. Verse number 12, he maintains that this thought from earlier in the chapter of don't be ashamed, for the which cause I also suffer these things. It's not always easy. In fact, because of this gospel, most of the time it's pretty difficult. But I'm not ashamed of it. In spite of the trials and the difficulties, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not afraid to speak out, to say what I believe and why I believe it. He's steadfast and firm. That's that. Not the spirit of fear, because he's not afraid. He's not ashamed to proclaim the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's motivated by that love for others. Paul was more than willing to endure hardship and pain and trials for the cause of Christ. I mean, many of us know the stories. We'd go down a whole list tonight of all the things that the Apostle Paul went through in his life. And Paul, I'm sure, writing this, is thinking back to all the times he was stoned and beat, rejected, the snake bites and shipwrecks that he endured over many years of faithfulness, the prison time. He even described himself early in this chapter as the prisoner. He served a lot of time in prison. We have the prison epistles. He endured hardship. He went through that difficulty. But all of it was more than worth it for the sake of the gospel. All of it was more than worth it. Every punch he took to the face, rock thrown at his head, shipwreck and snake bite, it was all worth it for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In spite of all of those difficulties, there was no fear. He wasn't ashamed. Paul could stand strong and of a good courage because he was faithful. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. He knows who He believes in. He recognizes who He serves. The God of all creation. The Creator. The Almighty. The I Am that I Am. The first and the last. It's the same God who we serve. Paul wasn't ashamed or afraid of man's repercussions. Because I know whom I serve. Paul was persuaded that God could keep His word. Because He's faithful. He's faithful. He's not given us the spirit of fear. So Timothy, you can trust God. And be faithful. Be faithful to Him because He'll be faithful to you every time. Every time that you're too nervous to share the gospel. Because we pick on the teenagers often of being afraid. Well, I don't want to talk to that friend at school. What would they think of me? And we kind of can pick on them for just being kids. Being afraid. You know, I think if us adults were honest in here tonight, it's not easy as adults to share the gospel either. There's a whole lot of social pressure and work or even among family members that may be unsaved to share the gospel with them. It can be intimidating. It can be a difficult thing. It's that spirit of fear. And really what it boils down to is pride. Pride. But God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Paul recognizes, I'm sure, that this was something he struggled with in life and is challenging Timothy, don't be afraid. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Every time you're too nervous to share the gospel. Every time you're not really sure how things are going to work out. Not really sure what to do. Brother Quinlan mentioned to me that we didn't have the missions letter necessarily. So he's like, well, you can talk about Japan. Any opportunity I get to talk about Japan, I'm going to take it. You know, I don't know how we're going to get there. But he does. Even right now, just looking at it, we couldn't even get in right now if we tried. It's still closed off. They're just now starting to open doors, so to speak, just a little bit. And, you know, that's a prayer request. We just have to trust the Lord. If we're going to take a survey trip next year, then He knows that. Lord willing, the doors will open right in His timing. Because His timing is best. Not my timing. Every time you're heartbroken. Every time you feel alone. He's faithful. Timothy, you don't have to be afraid of the call to preach. Because God's faithful. He says to hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, don't be afraid to preach the word. Hold fast to the word. The idea there, that holding fast, it's to cling to it, to hold strong to it, close to it. Hold to the truth of God's word in the hard times. Hold to it when you're struggling. Hold to it when people are questioning you. Hold to it when you don't understand what's going on in our world. Hold to it when they're... And it ties in so well to 1 Timothy. He's warning him of the dangers of these false gospels and the false teachers that were just as prevalent in his day as it is in our day. There's a church all over the place. All over the place, on every corner. But Timothy, hold fast to the truth. Hold fast to the truth, because Timothy, you're a young man, and Satan he'll be hunting you and chasing you and trying to pull you away from the truth of God's word for convenience, for people that have itching ears, that you'll preach to them what they want to hear rather than just holding to the truth and preaching it. Preach the word. Don't give up. Don't let go. Be faithful. Be faithful. Don't neglect the things of God. Hold to them. Be faithful to them. And Timothy, proclaim it. Share it in love to all people. Which thou hast heard of me. Paul speaking of himself. Timothy, you've heard me preach it in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, do that same thing. Faithfully preach it and share it. The gospel was given to you, and we're called to give it to others. To go forth and preach the gospel to every creature. It's every family member, all our friends and neighbors, your waiters and cashiers, people who believe differently than you. People that maybe who voted differently than you. People who have a sign in their front yard that maybe you drive by and you just kind of want to go kick down the sign. And you know, it's our natural tendency to be so angry and frustrated with these people. You can't even get on Google without seeing something that'll make you mad. But sometimes that anger and frustration at these people who disagree with us and, well, don't they know that this country was founded on biblical principles? How dare they think that? How could they write something like this? How could they possibly vote for that person? What is wrong with these people? And we get this anger and this frustration at people and we miss that, wait a second, they don't know the Lord. But those same people that are wicked, vile sinners, wait a second, we're wicked sinners too. That the same Jesus Christ who loved us so much and shed His blood on the cross to die for, pay the price for our sins, He did them too. Regardless of how they vote or what sign they put up in their yard, what color their hair is, whatever they wear in Walmart, Jesus Christ loves them. And He died on the cross for them. And sometimes we let ourself get in the way. I remember I had a coworker one time at Chick-fil-A, of all places, the most holy of all fast food places. Sometimes I just want to tell people, it's just chicken. Calm down. We don't pray for it in the back, like before you eat it, it's just chicken. Anyway, I had a coworker at Chick-fil-A one time. It was a teenage boy. Most people at Chick-fil-A were teenagers that they would hire. And they had weird rules. Like if you were 14 and they hired you, like you can't go in the freezer. I don't know. I thought that was weird. Like, you'll probably get stuck in there and, you know, die or something. I don't know. You can't handle picking up, like you couldn't get on a ladder. You couldn't like pick up something if it was like over 5 pounds. Just like those weird rules, which... You have that many rules. Why are you hiring 14-year-olds? Anyway, focus for the Jack. Focus. See, the teens know this. I'll like start. They always remember all my FedEx stories or they're all smiling right now, or Chick-fil-A stories. So then they'll come up to me later and be like, oh, yeah, like the Bigfoot guy or the old man in the tree. If you don't know what that means, you can go ask any of them later. I bet they remember that, or don't get a strike in bowling or something. Yeah. I blame them. Chick-fil-A. So I had a coworker at Chick-fil-A, a teenage boy. And I remember him coming up to me one time at work, and it was kind of out of the blue. But he asked me if I hated him. And I'd known this kid for well over a year. We'd worked together at two different stores. And it really surprised me that he would ask me that. Do you hate me? No. Why would, what would made you think that? Why would I hate you? And he said, well, it's because I believe that homosexuality is fine. That's the mindset that so often they have. And that's because so often we have the attitude of the Pharisees. Yep. Where we treat them a certain way or don't talk to them a certain way because they do believe that. Because this is just a 17-year-old boy that thinks I must hate him. He's like, I don't hate you. In fact, I'm commanded to love you. Because the same Jesus that died for me died for you too. Just as much. Just as much. I mean, think about the Apostle Paul. He killed people. He killed people that were Christians. And God loved him. And forgave him. And made him a preacher and an apostle, a teacher of Gentiles. And he was looking back on his life. He could see all these ways that God had worked and challenging his son in the faith, Timothy, to be a preacher of God's word, calling him to be faithful for a lifetime. What an encouraging thought. We're not supposed to hate them. We need to love them, to care for them. And to have that kind of love that motivates us to share the gospel with them. That motivates us to get back on that church bus and to witness to that little kid that comes. That motivates us to leave a tract with that cashier. That motivates us to be willing, not to be afraid or turned off by those people, but to go to them, to talk to them, to care about them. To be faithful. Faithful. Our Savior doesn't hate them. He saved this wicked sinner. I think I'm standing before a lot of wicked sinners tonight that could say He saved this wicked sinner. He desires for all to come to Him. It's very easy to get angry at people. It's very easy. Just get on the road for like 38 seconds. It's really easy to get angry at people. It's really hard to love them and to care about them. And to see that their real need is the gospel. The real need isn't some magic politician that'll come fix everything. The real need isn't taking away guns or giving more guns. The real need is the gospel. That we live in a lost and dying world full of people that need to know that there's a God who loved them so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Folks, what about you tonight? What's your heart really like towards these people? Because sometimes we can lose perspective of what they truly need. And I think about Paul here as he's challenging Timothy to hold fast to sound words. The good thing which was committed unto thee, keep it. Don't forget it. Don't neglect it. Don't get so lost in the busyness of life and in the stress of work or of moving or deaths in the family or trials or difficulties. Don't get so lost in that you miss this. Timothy, be faithful. Be faithful. Sometimes it's a little terrifying and humbling when I've had coworkers that'll come up and just ask me, what did you read in your Bible this morning? Why do they know that? Because at some point I probably talked to them about it. I had a guy one time say, can you give me a verse? I got to tell him about what I was going to preach that night. It worked out really well. But do your coworkers know that about you? Do your family members know that about you? What's your heart toward people really like tonight? That even in these times in which we live, difficult times, hard times, we need to be faithful. And no matter what's going on in our world or whatever the trials or the difficulties may be, that we would hold fast to the truth of God's Word. Hold to it. Stand by it. Because the same Jesus who loved us, each and every one of us so much, that He gave it all. He did the same thing for the people of Olathe. And in Leawood, and Gardner, and Ogallala, in Florida. For Japan. You know, just a side note here, and we're almost wrapped up. Is I've been studying a lot about the religions of Japan, and Shintoism and Buddhism. I was talking with a coworker yesterday who said his brother was an atheist that had told him if he was going to go with any religion, it would probably be Buddhism. And I told him, well, that makes a lot of sense because Buddhism doesn't really have a deity they believe in. They believe they are the deity. That over time, through good works, through doing a lot and giving a lot and praying for your family members, that you'll become enlightened, that you are the higher power. It fits right in with atheistic thinking. There is no higher power. It's me. Most Japanese have no concept of a God that would love them. It doesn't exist in their culture at all. But He does love them. He does love them. Don't be ashamed. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hold fast, Timothy. Don't quit. Be faithful. Let's all stand here tonight.